This is the Daily Tech News Show for January 6th, 2014. I'm Tom Merritt. Joining me today, Lamar Wilson, lifestyle vlogger, YouTube guy, Mashable host, and I'd like to think friend. Can I say that?
We are friends.
Friend, yes. Of all.
As long as you continue to pay me, we are friends for life.
As long as those checks keep cashing. Lamar is at CES. How are your feet, Lamar?
They are healing. I was staying at a really nice hotel, so I was able to get into the jacuzzi this morning and relax, because I woke up and my legs were stiff. And that's just from the CS unveiled, just walking from hotel to hotel just to get to the press stuff yesterday. My feet were dead. So I'm like, I'm here all week. I don't know how they're going to survive.
Yeah, no, it can break a man, yeah. As I said before the show. Well, as I've told people, this is sort of a laboratory for a daily tech news show that I intend to eventually launch in its fully formed version. One thing that people have been telling me is, you know, we'd like a little back and forth. I would like to get a permanent guest host at some point, which would read the headlines with me. But I thought today, Lamar, if you're willing to experiment, I'll read the headline, and you kind of give me a quick yay or nay reaction. What do you think?
I think that's fine. Let's do it.
All right, let's go with the headlines. CES is in full swing, as we mentioned, and the Next Web reports Pebble turned some heads. The company will launch an app store by the end of January. Developers need to submit their apps by January 9th to get in on that. We also got a peek at the new luxury model Pebble Steel smartwatch for $249. That's supposed to ship January 28th. Has brushed, stainless, or black matte versions. And new partners for the Pebble will now include Pandora, ESPN, and Mercedes-Benz.
Definitely a yay.
Yeah? You're into the blue steel? I mean, the Pebble Steel?
Yeah, it actually looks really cool. I wasn't into the watches before, but this might be one I pick up.
All right. Yeah. LG owns WebOS, and as we heard, Ars Technica reports, the first LG smart TV running WebOS did appear at CES. Interface uses the card motif for all features, apps, and the television programming. They're all equal down there at the bottom, actually. It shows up over the current program. The OS will support voice and gesture input as well as remote control. Netflix's Reed Hastings also showed up at their announcement and said that Netflix's 4K content, which includes House of Cards, will show up exclusively on LG 4K TVs.
Another yay. I like WebOS.
Two for two. All right.
Yeah.
I like WebOS. Who thought we'd be hearing that? Yes, again.
Exactly.
Like 2009, all over again. AT&T may have sparked a net neutrality war. Ars Technica reports the U.S. carrier confirmed a plan to allow content providers to pay in order to exempt their content from a user's data cap. As an example of that, Netflix could pay AT&T, and then any Netflix video you watch as an AT&T customer wouldn't count against your cap. They're essentially paying your data for you. To find out more, users or businesses can go to att.com/sponsored data, and John Brodkin, who wrote the article for Ars Technica, is going to be on the show tomorrow.
Nay on this one. I think there's some sneakiness going on behind the scenes.
It's going to save you money, though, Lamar. Don't worry. Forget about net neutrality.
Yeah, exactly.
PC Magazine reports Google unveiled the Open Automotive Alliance in collaboration with Audi, GM, Honda, Hyundai, and NVIDIA. The aim is to let drivers access their favorite apps and music with the car's built-in controls and the in-dash display. Expect to hear more in Audio Chairman Rupert Stadler's keynote tonight at 8:30 p.m. Pacific.
I say yeah on this one. I like Google and I like car technology. Yeah.
Yeah, you seem sort of like, yay. Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I think I'm with you on that one. Wearables, obviously a big trend at CES 2014. LG has caught some eyes. VentureBeat reports the Korean electronics company announced the LifeBand fitness wristband that tracks your movements and exercise, giving you data, you know, things like how many steps you've taken. LifeBand works with iOS or Android, and in addition to fitness features, it's also got a touch-sensitive OLED display, can answer calls, read smartphone notifications, and tell time, all of that through a low-energy Bluetooth connection with your phone.
Yay, as long as it electrocutes me when I eat too much.
All right, you hear that, LG? Get that in the LifeBand. The Verge reports on last night's speech by NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang, where he unveiled the 192-core Tegra K1, don't call it a Tegra 5, mobile processor for Android devices. not just for smartphones. The K1 was shown off inside 4K TVs, inside game console type things, and cars as well. The K1 comes in two versions, a 32-bit quad-core ARM Cortex-A15. That's coming to devices in the first half of 2014. There's also a 64-bit dual-core Denver. Remember hearing about Denver at 2011? The Denver ARM CPU arriving a little later in the second half of 2014.
I'm kind of on this because of the deceptive marketing with the cores. You know, the average person was like, ooh, 192
wow. cores.
Yeah. Oh, 92, sorry. I don't know.
All right. Gadget reports Intel's making a big deal about RealSense at CES. The first products with the name is a 3D camera that Intel promises will help devices see depth, much like the human eye, can even supposedly read emotions and faces. The RealSense 3D camera will come to tablets, ultrabooks, notebooks, and all-in-ones from the likes of Acer, Asus, Dell, Fujitsu, HP, Lenovo, and NEC, all of that in the second half of the year.
Yay.
Yeah,
it's cool
not?
Stuff.
Yeah. We'll see how it works, right? We may change our yay later on, but I'm with you.
Yeah.
All right, we got a lot of good news from you. Of course, with CES, there's an avalanche of news, but this is the stuff that folks in the audience thought was particularly interesting. Captain Kipper, who's good at snagging some interesting bits, pointed us to a BBC story about Zynga now taking Bitcoin as a payment option. Zynga has partnered with BitPay to allow the purchase of virtual items in certain Zynga games using your Bitcoins.
Complete nay. I mean, where there's money, there's Zynga. And you can quote me on that one.
That's a good point. Where there's money, there's Zynga. And Bitcoins are money these days, anyway. Whoever63 submitted this one, it's an Ars Technica story about Roku coming to smart TVs. Roku announced this Sunday it has partnered with TCL and Hisense to release televisions with Roku software built in. That'll start in the autumn of 2014. Roku will handle the software updates, according to Wired, and it's looking for other manufacturers to join up. Hey, Samsung, Sony, you want to make some Roku TVs? Roku's all ears.
I'm kind of nay on this one because I still see value in the box. Yeah, I think the box is so important. If these apps, you know, mess up or Roku goes away in a year or two, you got your TV's there for 15 years or so in your house. Like, you know, I'd rather have the box.
All right. I see. Yeah. I feel that way for upgradability, but then Roku says they're handling the software updates. So, I don't know. My old Roku that I bought in, 2008? Is kind of done. It can't even get the new software updates anymore. And my TV that I bought around the same time still works just fine. So, fair point.
Yeah, if they support it, it's fine. It's just, you know, there's been some cases where support has stopped, and what do you do?
Splendor78 sent in this story from Engadget, leaking the 12 partners for Valve's Steam Machine. iBuyPower and Digital Storm were already known, but Engadget says Alienware, Falcon Northwest, CyberPower PC, Origin PC, Gigabyte, MaterialNet, WebHallen, Alternate, Next, Zotac, and Scan Computer are all going to join the Steam party tonight. Valve's press conference is at 8 p.m. Eastern time, and that's 5 p.m. Pacific, so if you're listening to the show after that, you already know if it's true.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a cool box. I'm not big on open source because I don't understand, know a lot about it. But
you don't trust it, do you, Omar?
I think it's evil. No, the more players, the more players, the better in a video game industry. Yeah.
And WebAtube pointed out a Verge report about Vizio's first consumer-grade 4K TV. It's called the P-Series. Models will be available between 50 and 70 inches. These are 4K or Ultra HD. You'll hear it called both. And supposedly priced aggressively. Vizio does have good prices usually. Vizio also showed the Verge their new reference designs. These are not cheap. They're capable of high-quality 4K as well as high dynamic range, which is different than what it means in photo. But it does make the picture look very interesting. Vizio is an early supporter of Dolby Vision, which enhances the HDR video, or enables, rather, the HDR video experience. Vizio also has stopped adding 3D capability to any of their TVs, so shot to the forehead for 3D there.
Yeah, big yay on these. I love Vizio. I have a Vizio TV myself, 55-inch, very priced aggressively. I'm glad 3D is gone because no one uses it. I have 8 glasses that are sitting at home collecting dust, so go away.
And last news from you, TSLUS07 alerted us to an Engadget article about Corning's antimicrobial Gorilla Glass. It inhibits algae, mold, mildew, and fungi, as well as bacteria. The glass uses an ionic silver coating for the germ killing. You've probably heard surfaces using that before, but what they claim is that this is intrinsic somehow to the surface, meaning it will last for the lifetime of the device.
No, I'm pro germs. Put this down.
You're pro germs? Wait a minute, explain that.
No, it was just a bad joke. Of course, I'm here.
Pro germs. Yeah. Although I have to say, I have not really considered algae, mold, or mildew to be a big problem, or fungi for that matter, on my phones.
Yeah, those are extremes. And how long is your phone sitting there for that to happen?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, if you got mushrooms growing out of your phone, you got problems. All right, as we mentioned, Lamar has been pounding the pavement over there at CES. There's lots of stuff going on, lots of different manufacturers making announcements. I've got the calendar for you later on if you're interested in the announcements. Right now, Intel and Toyota wrapping up. Earlier today, as you noticed, LG had their announcement, Panasonic had their announcement. You were smart, though. You avoided those press conferences because that'll really kill your feet standing around going to those. What has caught your eye? Yeah. Anything?
You know, I was talking to a few other YouTube personalities yesterday, and because I got in yesterday, and I did go to the CES unveil, which is a press event, you kind of get the preview. I mean, besides, there was a cool 360 type of speaker from a company called Dream. That looked really good, like will replace your sound bar. And it was actually really, really awesome. But besides like new technology as far as charging your phone, putting on a mat, there's some cool, I think you're going to talk about this, the little parrot, the little robot thing.
Oh, yeah,
that
did you
around.
Get to see that in person?
Yes, I did. Yeah, that was amazing. I got a little video of that.
Yeah, so it's a well. There's two of them, right? There's one that's a pocket-sized quadcopter.
Mm-hmm. Right, and yeah, because the guy who made it was explaining it to me, and yeah, it fit right in his hand. And you know, he mentioned that they couldn't just shrink the bigger one; they had to rebuild it because they were concerned about it breaking easily. Because you know, these things are going to hit the wall, hit the ground hard. So he had to redo the design. But it looks really, really cool. Everything's independent. It turns on a dime, flips. And, yeah, I was just mesmerized. I've never seen these in person. I've just heard about these.
So this was your first personal introduction to the quadcopter at all, and then you get to see the really tiny one. What about the little one that was running around on the floor and it had wheels? Did you get to see that one too?
I did.
The jumping sumo.
Yeah, they had it in this clear cylinder, and it was jumping from stair to stair, and it was really cool to see it like jump up then jump up then jump up and then kind of fall down. So yeah, it's real. It actually jumps, which is, again, it's new to me, but it looked really cool.
The CES unveiled, for those who don't know, is the official CES sort of press conference, and its attempt to be a miniature CES because the show is so vast across so many halls of the Las Vegas Convention Center, the three main halls, which are gargantuan in and of themselves, and then hotels all across Las Vegas. They try to bring all the best stuff into one place. So there's a big room. You walk around to tables, and people are demonstrating their products. It sounds like you didn't really see anything that totally blew you away, though. That's not unusual.
Oh, no, and that's the thing. I went to every booth, and nothing stood out. And I figured this morning was going to be similar. I am going to the Sony event at 5 p.m. Pacific tonight. So I'm interested to see what they have to say. I wanted to go to the Samsung one, but it starts like 15 minutes. I'll never make it. But yeah, I'm not. There is a one thing I'm looking forward to. I mean, we know about 4K. You know, that's going to be big. I saw the LG Flex, which is that first curvable phone. I saw that in person. And besides phones and tablets, I don't think there's any one thing that's going to blow anybody away this year.
Yeah, the LG Flex isn't even an announcement at CES per se. It's just the first chance that a lot of people get a chance to look at it. Seeing it in person, did it seem any more practical than perhaps we would have thought?
It's cool. I was able to hold. I mean, it does curve. That took from your hand, from your ear to your mouth. And for those few people who still make phone calls, that's great. The battery is also curvable, which is really nice. They were able to kind of do that technology. But again, at the end of the day, it's just another Android phone. I'm not saying that in a negative way. It's just another phone that's huge, and I'm not really into that market of huge phones right now.
It's coming to AT&T, T-Mobile, and Sprint. What they're saying, it'll be launching soon. No pricing details were given. They were talking $1,000 price when they first talked about it. It's got to come down from that. How much would you pay, you think?
If I was into that phone, like if I had to buy it full out, I wouldn't want to pay more than $500 for it. I mean, it's a nice 5.5%.
You're talking about unsubsidized too, right?
Unsubsidized, yeah. That's how I buy my phones now, just because I'm on T-Mobile, and that's just like the easiest way to do that. Subsidized, it shouldn't be more than $299 max.
And we've kind of covered most of the things that were out there, but you know, the WebOS TV, the Steel, it feels like.
Looks exciting.
I always like to play this game at CES. Let's nail down the trends that you're going to hear everyone talking about. And it seems like Ultra HD, a.k.a. 4K televisions, is one.
Right.
Smart TVs still seem to be kind of a subcategory of that.
They're still around, yeah.
Yeah, you're still seeing a lot of people talk about that. Wearables are huge. Everybody's talking about wearables.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the most interesting one. If anything, I target it. And my coverage for Mashable and for myself, it's going to be wearables.
And then Internet of Things, right? I saw the Belkin Crockpot that had pairs
yeah.
with an app so that you can, like, adjust the time or change, you know, how fast or slow you want it to cook or turn the thing off.
I guess. I mean, I use a regular Crockpot at home, but the idea of it is to leave it on all day. I'm not sure I want to be tweaking and playing with it.
Well, that was
throughout the whole day.
I get the Internet of Things appeal, right? To be able to control things and network things and all of that.
Yeah, I get it.
Crockpot as the best example. That's the one thing that I usually think to set it and forget it, right? Like, I don't want to think about a Crockpot.
Yeah,
that's the point.
Exactly. And it can go for 8 to 10 hours. Another trend that we'll probably be looking at, I'll be interested in, is biometrics. You know, I won't say Apple started the trend, but Apple definitely popularized it with the 5S.
Now that's interesting.
So it'll be
interesting. I haven't seen as many people touting that. What are you seeing in biometrics?
I haven't seen anything yet. I remember a Mashable article that really made it stand out, saying, you know, fingerprint sensors, eye scanners are going to be things that are going to be interesting. So I'm gonna look for them. I just want to see.
Yeah.
That might be the hidden category. It turns out to be pretty cool this year.
There you go. You heard it here first, folks. Wearables, 4K, and Internet of Things, plus the secret category of biometrics. No, I think you're right about that, because everybody wants to compare themselves to the iPhone still. It may not be quite as rabid as it used to be, but it's still there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right, well, there's a look at CES. If you're wanting to know more about CES, especially if you're watching this live or shortly after I put it out there, Samsung has their announcement going on at 2 p.m. Pacific. MakerBot has theirs at 4 p.m. Pacific. Valve will finally announce those Steam machines at 5 p.m., as I mentioned, and as Lamar mentioned, Sony at 5 p.m. Pacific as well. The big keynote from Brian Krzanich, the CEO of Intel, happens at 6:30 p.m. Pacific. And Rupert Stadler's Audi keynote that I mentioned earlier coming at 8:30.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to get to that. I'm interested in that Audi Google thing.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get a little more into what they're planning with the Android in-dash stuff. Also today, it's worth noting for anybody in India, the Sony PlayStation 4 hit Indian stores today at 39,990 rupees.
I hope that translates to something cheaper for it.
Well, it's around, not that much cheaper, but it's a slightly bit more expensive. But all right, let's look at some of the messages we have been receiving to feedback at dailytechnewsshow.com. Mike writes in and says, I'm interested in your take on what would be successful in a larger iPad form factor. I had predicted an iPad Pro for 2014, so he's reacting to that. Do you think that's an enterprise product, a replacement for a MacBook Pro, or ? I enjoy the show. The sound and video are great. Oh, thank you, Mike. I appreciate that. I was predicting enterprise, but Lamar, I'm just going to spring this on you. If for some reason my crazy prediction about a large form factor iPad comes true, who do you think it would be for?
I would definitely say business enterprise. If anything, Tom, I think, and this is dangerous to say, but I think they would maybe get rid of the Air and have a combo machine similar to the Surface, where you can detach this big tablet from the keyboard, and it may at some point replace the Air from that. I mean that would make the most sense. But I think it'll be targeted for enterprise business users, maybe education.
They do seem to be slowing down touting the Air and pushing the Air forward with new models. However, everybody I talked to, what's that?
No, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Yeah, no, it doesn't even have Retina yet. I mean, I'm talking to you on one now.
Yeah.
So it makes you wonder, are they going to upgrade it, or are they going to surprise us with a
But everybody
hybrid.
Everybody who uses the Air loves it more than the iPad. A lot of my friends who use the Air say, "Oh, I don't use my iPad anymore because I have an Air." So I think they'd have to bridge that gap somehow. Maybe it would be a physical keyboard on a large form factor iPad, which could easily just be a laptop convertible form factor running iOS instead of running OS X. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if I'd like that. I want that multitasking operating system.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't give up my Air. That's why I bought it. It's perfect, in the sense of the size and just being able to travel with it. And I like my iPad Mini. Like, I think that's where it fits. You know, from desktop, iPad, MacBook Air, and then iPad Mini. That kind of seems to be the trend that I like to have as far as sizes. I'm not sure how would I feel about a large iPad. That might be a little overkill for regular people.
Yeah, if it's just, I mean, I can't imagine, and this is not what I'm predicting, that they just come out with a 15-inch iPad. I think that would be a little ridiculous. It's going to have to have something else to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jerry wrote in and said, all the recent talk about the new game console wars has left me with one nagging question. Who won the last one? I know that's over the years we have heard reports about quarterly sales and other snippets of information, but I wonder who sold the most units and who brought in the most money. I'm not sure if that is something that can even be answered, but it sure would be a cool thing to look at the numbers. Well, you can estimate it. You can go look at all those NPD and Gartner reports and try to estimate it. The companies themselves haven't issued full-on sales figures for the most part, but Sony's earnings report did reveal something about it back in August. It turns out that Sony struggled out of the gate, but have sold around 80 million units total based on a GeekWire compilation. Microsoft, at that same point, and this was in August, had sold 78.2 million. The other thing muddying the waters there is they're still selling them, right? So
right, absolutely.
Who could win the previous console war might come down, if these numbers are as close as they look, to whose secondary model sells better. And that's why the PlayStation 2, hands down, won the previous console war before that one, because the PS2 was the top-selling game console for years after the PS3 and the Xbox 360 came out.
Yeah, I remember that. It was quite funny. I actually had thought the 360 won because the numbers touted month after month was showing the 360 is selling more, even through holiday seasons. So maybe PS3 did have a ramp up towards the end, but I always thought 360 kind of wanted, because remember the Wii was actually killing both of them for a while, and then it slowed down.
The issue is that the Wii was killing earlier and then plummeted, and the PS3 was doing better than the Xbox 360 early and then evened out. And the Xbox 360 did have a string of monthly wins, but maybe in total, it didn't end up, Q3 of 2011, the PlayStation was still a high number two. It was a number two in 2010 as well, to the Wii. So the Wii and the Xbox 360 changed places. The PS3 kind of stayed a consistent second place through all of that, which could mean a larger total by the end. Anyway, as Beef Viper said, I can tell you who lost: the consumers. I don't know if I agree with that.
Especially with these next generation ones.
Yeah, you could definitely make an argument about that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Lamar, for joining me. I really appreciate it, man. I know how hard it is to collect bandwidth and energy when you're at CES, so I definitely appreciate it.
Yeah, the bandwidth was definitely an issue when I got here. It's like it felt like dial-up right when dial-up came out. And then it finally ramped up. So yeah, it's good to be here, dude. I like what you're doing. You know, I'm one of your biggest supporters, good friend, and I wish you the best with this. I hope something big comes for you very soon. And so
thanks,
you'll be right where you left off. Yeah,
I'm taking it cautiously, trying to do it right. So I appreciate that. You can find Lamar at youtube.com/LamarWilson. There's two R's in Lamar. There are no R's in Wilson. Lamar. YouTube.com/LamarWilson. And also look for his work on Mashable.com as well. A bunch of other thanks to give to people. Sam Smith made that logo that you saw on the podcast post on Friday. Thank you, Sam. That was a great logo. That's the one being used on the subreddit right now. And then right after that, Mustafa A. from thepolarcat.com made another great logo. So I put that one up as well, and that'll be on today's show. Thanks also to Martin Bell at twitter.com/MartinBellMusic. Martin just sent me this awesome music, and I'm using it today. Sawyer loves it. He thinks it's amazing.
They
so you can hear that at the top of the show. Shut up! Also, thanks to Kildee, who has joined Tom Gerke and Scotty Rowland on the subreddit. Thank you, Kildee. And don't forget, you can have a voice in what stories that I cover at our subreddit, dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com. You can also email us. That address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. And visit the website, which is dailytechnewsshow.com. I've got John Brodkin from Ars Technica joining us tomorrow. I'll see you then. Ooh.